out to the ball. A first out at second base as Newcomb made the ball player play. If he had not made it good, if Westrum had been safe at second base on what was a very close call down there, well, there might have been some more heads roll as a result of this ball game. But Newcomb, taking the bit in his teeth, went for the ball player's play. The one in which you live or die, and got his man at second, 1-6. Magley safe at first on a fielder's choice, no sacrifice bunt. The batter is Little Stanky, the brat, number 12, diminutive second baseman of the New York Giants. Outfield jagged, short and right, short and center, deep and left. Outfield, the infield, up in double play depth. The Stanky watches high for ball one. One ball, one strike, the score 1-0 in favor of the Brooklyn Dodgers. On deck after Stanky will come Alvin Dark. Dark, everything riding here. Giant base running cost him a threat. A pitch taken outside. Two balls and no strikes on Stanky, who, as I told you earlier, makes the walk an offensive weapon. It's a major weapon of attack with him. He leads the National League in base on balls. DeRocher trots down to talk to Stanky, who immediately gets out of the batter's box and meets his pilot halfway down the line. Leo the Lip, a great admirer of Stanky, who always wanted him after he'd left Brooklyn. The first thing that Leo did after he got to the New York Giants was to negotiate a tremendous trade with the Boston Braves, in which the Braves took Walker Cooper, Sid Gorton, Willard Marshall, and in exchange surrendered Eddie Stanky and Alvin Dark. The Braves also in that transaction got Red Webb. Ed Stanky, feet close together, well away from the plate, choke hitting right-handed, the outfield shaded to the left, the infield pole to the left. Reese, halfway up, stride toward third, there's the ball hit fair down the third base line, back to back, close to second, one, the throw to first, the second first. By Stanky, 5-4-3, as Billy Cox, as sure-fisted a glove man as ever played third base for a baseball team, made a sparkling backhand stop on a hard-hit ground ball just inside fair territory on the third baseline. Pinwheeled, whipped to Robinson covering second for the out there. Jackie's pinwheeled and so back to first was in time for the out. Cox, one of the most underrated third seconds in the major league. Giants go down in order in the third inning despite the leadoff walk to Weston. No run, no hit, no errors, nobody left on base. At the end of three, here in the frantic polo ground, as these two teams desperately battle for that tri-corner piece of flannel worth $5,000 to every player, the score is Brooklyn 1, the New York Giants nothing. Here's Sal Magley working on Jack Robinson, who twists away from the ball one after taking a strike, 1-1. One, all set to go. The pitch is inside for ball two. I said a moment ago that Cooper was in the Dark Stanky deal. He was. The trade was Dark and Stanky for Gorton, Marshall, Buddy Kerr, and Red Webb. Cooper came to the Braves from the Reds in the Connie Ryan transaction. Jack Robinson waits. 1-2 pitch. Ball three outside. 3-1. Jackie Robinson, Dodgers pigeon-toed second baseman. Fleet-footed, dusky flash of lightning, right-hand hitter. Mickey Owens' muff was probably the World Series' greatest skull, if you can call that a skull. That was just a miss. But here today, we've seen one in playoff history. There's one hit back over the head of the pitcher. Over his feeling, Stanky stumbles, throws, off-balance to first in time for the out. Little Stanky almost lost his footing as he stumbled backward after picking up a ground ball off Jackie Robinson's bat, which Stanky had snuffed out on the short hop. He got it to first base to Lachman, a step and a half in front of the fleet-footed and really jitting Jackie Robinson. 4-3 for the out. Andy Papko on deck, Gil Hodges down in the hole. First half of the fourth, 1-0, the Brooklyn Dodgers over the New York Giants. A pitch missing the outside corner. Jackie Robinson's first inning single in the hole, which sent Reese roaring from second in home. Right now is the important blow, the blow which has Magley behind, 1-0. Sal comes down with it, strike call in the outside corner, 1-1, one ball, one strike, one out, the infield is heavy, almost wet. The outfield has very soft and froggy footing also. A slow diamond, the infield damp, the skin of the infield shows that. It rained during the game yesterday, I'm sure you're familiar with that and we're listening. field covered with tarpaulin, but it's still damp. And the heavy mist overhead having an effect on the footing. That's a swing and a drive foul down the left field line. Foul by 4 inches, not more. Andy Papko in a rifle shot, lightning bolt, foul down that left field line. That skimmed within 4 inches of the line. It was almost on. So the Dodgers, for whom hopes were black with despair yesterday afternoon early, find a silver lining in the cloud. They repulsed the Giants yesterday, 10-0. Today, meeting Magley, the man whose name strikes black fear in Brooklyn hearts, they lead him 1-0 in this desperate fighting of the Battle of Coogan's Bluff. The final game, the payoff. The pitch to Magley, Papko from Magley, breaking low outside, almost down in the dirt, 2-2. Two balls, two strikes. Now Magley takes his time, glancing into Western, who's down again, shielding his signs to Chuck Dressen, a good sign stealer at third. Jake Kepler is at first. Magley throws, Papko swings, and the bat goes flying out of his hand, hurtling down the third baseline, where Bobby Thompson picks it up and throws it back over to a Brooklyn bat boy who will return it. The Brooklyn Dodgers and the New York Giants in the baseball end-all, the real end-all. DeRocher yesterday gambled as though it were a meaningless exhibition. If it were his idea to save his good pitchers for the series, he may have to wait a year at least because he's got Newcomb today as they shoot for the role. But that, of course, was not his idea. Not at all. For people second-guessing DeRocher, consider that if he had started Magley yesterday, Sal would have been wasted. The pitch, Papko cuts and misses, and strikes out swinging. Two up and two down. A lot of people have said that Leo should have started Magley yesterday. But it would have been a total waste of Leo's first-line pitcher because against Levine yesterday, not even Walter Johnson at his best could have helped the Giants left. They'd have just been wasting Magley against a kid throwing a shutout. Magley or anybody else wouldn't have beaten LeBron yesterday. Now, as it is, he's at least got a fairly well-rested ace, ready for this biggest game of the year. Magley was tight yesterday, said he wasn't ready. Even Dressen said he would have done the same thing that DeRocher had done. The pitch. There's one cut at it, missed for the right-handed hitter. Hodges going around for it. Out on the mound, Sal Magley, who has had 3 days of rest, and that's generally enough for him. Don Newcomb at 5 2/3 innings of pitching on Sunday. The pitch. Down and missed again on a weak swing by Hodges, who tried to ignore the pitch at the last moment, but was too far through on his swing. Catching today for the Dodgers is Rube Walker, who had 3 hits there yesterday, and who is subbing for Roy Campanella. Campanella pulled a hamstring muscle in his right leg. He's taking a freezing spray rather than injection, but they're not deadening the pain, Roy says. Two out, Hodges at bat. 2 strikes on the big fellow. Magley throws it down. Gill beats a weak roller down to the third baseman. Thompson freezes it. Arches his throw. He's got it coming up. 5-3. No runs, no hits, no errors, nobody left on base in the first half of the fourth inning. And Sal Magley settling down now to the brilliance which we are accustomed to seeing in Magley, has retired 11 batters in a row since Jackie Robinson hit his one-run single with one out in the first inning. Magley has been airtight, freezer compartment tight, since he opened in the first inning and allowed Robinson to hit him and Reese to run. We'll go into the last of the fourth now. The Giants will have up the fat part of their batting list. Alvin Dock, Don Mueller, and Whitey Lockman. We'll pause now. 45 seconds. The score is the Brooklyn Dodgers 1, the New York Giants 0. Well, it would be very hard to guess on the play on Bobby Thompson, the second inning skull on the part of the New York Giants, as to who fouled it up, because from where our press box is, you simply could not tell whether Bobby got the sign to go on down to second or went on down to second on his own. But certainly, the fault will either rest with Bobby Thompson or with Freddie Fitzsimmons or Leo DeRocher, one of those three. Dock, 304 hitter. Newcomb on the hill. Al Walker down behind the plate. Al waits for the pitch. Popped out the third on a first pitch, first out of the first inning. He takes a ball one over there. In 1948, Alvin Dock fired the Boston Braves to a pennant. By natural temperament, he is a leader.
former lieutenant in the Marines. Newcomb offers, dark swings, rifles the drive, slug foul down the third baseline, whistling over the head of Larry Getz, who worked balls and strikes here yesterday. And in again, after tapping mud off his spikes, comes Alvin Dark, one of the greatest all-around athletes in Louisiana State University history. They still talk about his work for Louisiana State University against Fordham. And by the way, Liberty is this afternoon making arrangements to bring you, this Saturday night, the game between the undefeated Bengals of Louisiana State and the Rice Institute Owls. Newcomb pitches. Alvin Dark swings, cuts one high into the air. Jackie Robinson drifts back on the grass, getting under it, waiting. He's got it. Jackie Robinson swallowing a high pop-up from Alvin Dark, who leads off the fourth inning. And Newcomb, aside from a bad second inning, is also settling down. There have been three hits, two off Newcomb, one off Sal Magley. Now comes Don Mueller, Mandrake, a power-hitting left-hander who has the wind in his favor, blowing out a crosswind toward right, from left to right. Third baseman is up close. Reeves halfway up. Robinson deep on the right side as Mueller looks at one. Pumped outside by Don Newcomb. Big giant right-hander. Newcomb on the hill. Louisiana State and Rice being set up to broadcast for you on Saturday night. Liberty has six football games a weekend. Remember to stay tuned in to your Liberty stations for LBS, a large bundle of sports. Newcomb throws in too close. Ball two, one out. Mueller batting. Don kicks and fires. Mueller swings as the line drive. Hopkins goes high into the air with a leaping catch. Down the first baseline, a sizzling, searing liner that Gil Hodges left his feet for and brought down with a jack-in-the-box catch. He came way high in the air as though he had coils of springs in his feet. Now here's Monty Irvin, leading runs batted inner in the National League. Left to right-hand hitter. The outfield stands far to the left. Infield toward third. Newcomb throws him down, and Irvin looks it over. High and wide for ball one. One ball, no strikes. Pervasive gloom and depression over the Polo Grounds, Rivers. Dodgers fans wild with enthusiasm in the desperate fighting at Coogan's Bluff. Newcomb kicks. Big right-hander overarms it. Monty Irvin moves back away from a 10-high pitch. Another dramatic page in Polo Grounds history. Irvin with two out. The base is empty. He's batting. Robinson over near second. Reeves halfway between third and second. Giants in the Valley of the Shadow trailing 1-0. Last of the fourth inning. Newcomb throwing down. Irvin takes it upstairs. 2-1. Two balls, one strike. These two teams struggling down through the year, blazing, shining, stumbling, faltering, blazing, shining again, finally coming down here to the last day when only one game matters. When you can forget everything else, this is the only one. We're starting all over. Newcomb pitches, Irvin swings, hopping ball down to Cox, who freezes it, throws in time for the out at first. No run, no hit, no errors, nobody left on. And we are at the end of four quick one-hour innings in the Polo Grounds. Going into the fifth inning here at the PG in New York, site of baseball's first third game of a playoff, the score is the Brooklyn Dodgers 1, the New York Giants nothing. Brooklyn, one run, one hit. No errors, two left on. The New York Giants, no runs, two second-inning singles, backed up by Blockman and Thompson. No errors, and one man left on base. And now out comes the leadoff Brooklyn batter, Billy Cox, who made a fine, fine stop to start a double play on Eddie Stanky with Don Newcomb about to get in trouble in the third inning. There have been three interesting points in this game so far. Magley's slight nervousness at the start. That's just an assumption on my part, since I have no way of knowing. But he did appear that for the first time all the times I've ever seen him, he might be just the slightest bit of twitter. He missed the corners on Reese, walked him with one away. Snyder was also walked, and then Robinson singled. That brought home a run. Then in the Giants inning, Bobby Thompson. There's a pitch, bunted along the first base line by Cox. Up the zone, Magley picks up the ball, shoots one, throw to first, and hits Cox on the leg.
And that's the second time that a ball has hit a runner here in 2 days. They're going to call him out at first base. They're going to call it safe at first base on a hit. Hit at first base. Yesterday, when Magley threw to first base, he hit Sheldon Jones threw to first, he hit Hodges in the small of the bat. And here now, Magley hits Billy Cox, who beats out a leadoff butt hit. George Spencer. It was Spencer who hit Hodges yesterday, and not Jones. A left-hand hitter at the plate, Rube Walker. Magley tugs at his cap. Shoeless Joe Jackson hit the first homer over the right field roof here. Rube Walker duplicated it yesterday afternoon. There's a swing and a miss. The monumental Titanic homer that Walker hit yesterday. Joe Jackson was the first ever to do it. Shoeless Joe, smothering pressure on the New York Giants. We pause for station identification 5 seconds. We'll do it after this next pitch. Magley taking the sign now. New York Giant right-hander looks to his runner at first. Cox throws down, cut out and missed for strike two. Now 5 seconds to play that this is Liberty. Back at baseball, where in the Polo Grounds, in that battle of Coogan's Bluff, on the black, swirling waters of the Harlem River, the New York Giants facing an aroused Brooklyn Dodgers that has come back from the Valley of the Shadow. Won yesterday 10-0, leads today by a score of 1-0. The light's shining, but the heavens overhead are brightening up all the time. Al Walker, the batter, Magley offers. Al swings and misses for strike three. For Magley, the barber has now recorded 5 strikeouts in his first 5 innings. The batter will be Newcomb with Cox on first, Alvin Dark and Eddie Stanky in double play depth. Around us, the Flatbush faithful, 25,000 of them, oohing and eyeing at their high tide of devotion and pride. Tide of battle in the National League, which has been for so many weeks, ebbing and then falling. A moment victory in sight, the next moment disaster at hand. Finally down to the last game where nothing else matters. Magley checks Cox, bunting at it is Newcomb. All right, it gets away from him, goes for strike one, and holding on at first base as Westrum is able to retrieve the ball in time is the runner, Billy Cox. Would you call this a cold war, a war of nerves? That's certainly one way of putting it. Out on the mound, inscrutable Sal Magley, his face an unreadable blank, a man of no nerves. An old outlaw campaigner at Drummondville and at Tampico, brought back from the Mexican leagues by Chandler's Amnesty. Magley offers, they charge in for the bunt. It escapes Wes Westrum as Newcomb fouls it off, beats his bat into the ground in disgust. Big Don from Leonia, New Jersey, 6'4", 220-pounder. Mrs. John McGraw on hand. Ford Frick, new commissioner. Warren Giles, the new president of the National League. William Harridge, president of the American League. Joey Lewis, Douglas, and Ms. MacArthur, many, many others. A who's who here this afternoon in earnest. Dizzy Dean is here. He'll be heard nationally for the first time next year. The old Cardinal pitcher, you know. Dizzy has reached the metallic age. Gold in his teeth, silver in his hair, lead in his feet. Still around, though. Magley throwing Newcomb. Don takes, left-hand batter, wide, ball one, 1-2, after trying to bunt twice and going to strikes both times. Tommy Holmes here, the manager of the Boston Braves, sitting behind a post, no doubt arranged by Harold Parrott of the Brooklyn Dodgers. Good inning pitcher, Don. Swings, hits a wrap to the right side. Beautiful backhanded blocker who throws in time to Dark for a forced out at second base. That was a fine fielding play by one of the game's great natural fielders, Whitey Lockman. Transplanted outfielder who raced to his right on the rim of the infield grass. Took a bounding hopper from Don Newcomb, who gets first on a fielder's choice. And then, looking to first base, saw that he could only make a play for a force at second base and got Cox there. Lockman to Dart, 3-6. Now the Giants have Newcomb on first, 2 away, and the batter is Carl Farrillo. The New York Giants lead this ball game trail this ball game 1-0 with 2 out. Farrillo batting. That hit off Magley, by the way,
broke a skein of 11 straight batters retired. Magley has now retired 13 out of the last 14 men who have faced him. Spurillo, right-hand hitter. Third time in 4 days the Dodgers trying to avoid it. Magley throws it down. Cold-hearted Sal's curveball is hit out toward left field. Weak, drooping liner in fast as Irvin gets there and makes the catch for the out on a good racing catch. He was laid way back for a full inning right-hander, way back toward the wall at a country mile, put on a full head of steam, and came roaring in to get it. The Dodgers, despite a leadoff base hit by Billy Cox, go down with no runs, one hit, no errors, and they left one man racing his motor down at first base. At the end of 4.5 innings of play here in the Polo Grounds in New York, the Brooklyn Dodgers won, the New York Giants 0. Folks, you'll get deep down satisfaction with premium quality Falstaff, a true premium quality beer. Only premium quality hops and grains are ever used. Take a sip of Falstaff, taste it, and you'll say, Falstaff's got something. Fans, it's got something for you. A famous flavor for your extra pleasure. Top baseball entertainment for your extra enjoyment. Brewed by the Falstaff Brewing Corporation of St. Louis, Omaha, and New Orleans. Right now, you can be adding plenty to your enjoyment of this game by just taking the wraps off a bottle of Frosty Falstaff. Or, better still, if you don't have any on hand, make it a point. Once the ball game is over, we won't ask you to do it during the game. Get in the jalopy, go down and buy a case of Falstaff, which is premium quality through and through. It's got something. Falstaff, choices, product of the brewer's art. Falstaff, the beer that brings you baseball. Relative to the auctioning of the baseballs of last Saturday and the Sunday at Braves Field in Boston, we have now good news for you. We're going to be able to supply an autographed baseball for every person who sends in a check covering his bid, the amount of which is known to all of you. Make the check payable to the Jimmy Fund, care of the Boston Braves, Braves Field, Boston, Massachusetts. So everybody that bid by sending in a check for the amount of his bid can get a ball actually used in the game on Saturday. That is, the first 10 people will get balls actually used. We got all the balls we could that we used in the games, and then the rest of those people, rest after the first 10, will get balls which are autographed by the New York Giants and the Boston Braves. So send in your check, Jimmy Fund, care of the Boston Braves, Braves Field in Boston, and then you'll get your baseball. Whitey Lockman leads off. Wonder what's going on in Leo's head. Last half of the fifth inning, drama everywhere. String is run out in the National League. Newcomb rocks, the big right-hander, brings it down, lays in a strike off the letters. Strike one. Snyder and Hodges seem to have been coming out of their slumps yesterday. Robinson says the Duke hadn't been swinging right and was yesterday for the first time. Pitch, giving ground on it is Whitey Lockman. Ball one, 1-1. Giants trying to get a runner on here. Get something started if they can. Lockman, like Mel Ott, was a Polo Grounds figure before he was 20. Everybody thought he was through after a multiple ankle fracture in 47. Back he came to the headlines. Takes strike call. Outside corner, whiffling curve. Carroll Whitey Lockman from Charlotte, North Carolina, the Warhawk. Facing Big Don Newcomb, the giant right-hander of the Brooklyn Dodgers. Tommy Holmes' family being threatened. He lives in the Bay Ridge section of Brooklyn. Brooklyn fans threatening him for having knocked the Dodgers almost out of the pennant race last year. Lockman hits a whistling ground ball. That's a nasty hot reach. Stop. Throw down. 40 now. Well, it's Pee Wee Reed is playing in the last couple of days as fine defensive ball as you'll ever see a shortstop play. There was a wicked one-hopper hit to him. Sliced viciously off the bat of left hand hitting Whitey Lockman. Veering to the left side on a mile-a-minute clip. It took a nasty kick, Englished up high, almost over Reese's head. But with a sudden, almost automatic motion, Reese jerked his glove hand up, seemed to have a perception that the ball was going to do that. Pulled it down and threw him out. Franco warms in the Dodger bullpen. Newcomb throws, Thompson swing. Gets a grounder inside third base, bad territory. Here's Bobby around first, whistling for second base. He'll throw to second, he dives. Headlong bellybuster, straight for a double. Bobby Thompson, who was no doubt being blamed for a Babe Herman skull in the second inning by many fans when it may or may not have been the fault of the New York Giant coaches, redeems himself to glory in the hearts of the New York Giant fans with a sizzling one-foot fair third baseline double out along the left field line inside Bill Cox, who, as good a glove man as he is, couldn't get that one with a dive at it. Thompson streaked into second and hit a belly whopper slide in front of Jackie Robinson's tag, which was put on his head as he came in. Not in time. Thompson had his arms spread out, and he went off into second base just like you'd go off a diving board, belly busting in. He's in there, scoring position at second. The batter is Willie Mays. One out. The Dodgers lead by a score of 1-0 in the sudden death finale. Curtain call in the National League. Don Newcomb looks down, checking Bobby at second base. The pitch to Willie is high inside for ball one. Now both Branca and Erskine are up heating up in the Dodger bullpen. The Giant hurlers have sat down. Medically appears in complete control now. Newcomb's pitch to the right-hander. Willie cuts and fouls off a burning fast pitch. He had Willie swinging light on that one. Such was the velocity with which Newcomb threw that one in. That had smoke all over it. Yesterday, Charlie Dressen and the Dodgers brought to mind a great incident. A Dodger pitching staff exhausted and riddled, their most valuable player, Campanella, out of the lineup, just 1 defeat away. Pitching worn down to a nub. Hitters and fielders weary beyond their years. And he brought to mind a great adage. Newcomb throws, where Mays cuts and fouls it off at his feet. Roy Campanella was crippled, the whole club was decimated. So Charlie Dressen reminded of that historic statement of Marshal Foch, the commander of the Allied forces in the First World War. You remember then, when things were at their worst, the marshal put down in his order, he said, "My center is giving away, my right is pushed back, my left is wavering. The situation is excellent, I shall attack." So he did, and under the same birth ball circumstances, so has Dressen yesterday and today. Newcomb in tough shape, with Thompson down at second, one out. Reese and Robinson bluffing him back to the bag. May now out trots Dressen to talk to Don Newcomb about how he's going to pitch to Wes Westrum, the batter coming up. Maybe perhaps to tell him that they want to walk Westrum and get to Magley. The strategy on this one will be forthcoming immediately. Newcomb, who pitched 5 2/3 innings Sunday, being relieved in the 13th with 2 on and 2 out, had brilliant fielding. They had but one hit off of him, but he walked 6. He was out there to battle Robin Roberts and save the Brooklyn Dodger pennant. He, like Rowe, has been complaining of a sore arm. Rowe, you know, who, if the Dodgers win this one, may or may not start the first game of the World Series tomorrow, didn't survive the second inning with 2 days rest. They're going to walk Westrum. That was what Dressen was going out to tell Newcomb. They're walking Westrum in order to get to Magley, knowing that the Giants cannot afford to relieve Smiling Sal, the Niagara Falls Nugget. Sal Magley with 23-6 being walked will be the next batter as Magley, hitting 155, will come up the moment Westrum has walked. Here's a Newcomb turns around, making Bobby Thompson hustle back into second base after the 3-0 pitch out. Magley had a base hit up in Boston on Saturday. It was a very valuable blow on his own behalf. And now they're telling Leo DeRocha to get back in the coaching box at third base. He's out of it. He's still standing on the eighth, though, and now Leo DeRocha, after the ball four is pitched, is coming down the line in order to talk to Sal Magley. Westrum walk. Giant has a tying run at second base, the go-ahead run on first base with Magley, the barber, hitting. Sal has lathered the Brooks 5 out of 6 times this season. 5 out of 6. Carl Erskine, who was warming in the bullpen, went the route for Brooklyn on Friday night. This is Newcomb's 3rd call in 5 days, his 4th call in 8 days. He is 5-2 against the New York Giants this season, 0-1 to Sal Magley. Magley is 5-1 against the Brooklyn Dodgers. They've beaten him but once. Giants playing on the same field for more than 60 years. Magley the batter. Newcomb pitches. Sal swings at the dribbling grounder down to Reese, who eats it out, throws to first. He got him in the Brooks are out of the jam. They beat the Raps. 6-3. Magley, the slow, hopping grounder, a skipper of two hops down to Reese, who trapped the ball on the half hop, came up, sizzled it to Hodges for the out. No runs, one hit, no errors, two men left on base. And now, moving into the sixth inning here at the Polo Grounds of New York, as time grows short for the desperately reaching Giants, the score is the Brooklyn Dodgers 1, the New York Giants nothing. Well, if you could write the script for this one, how would you write it? If you were a Hollywood writer and say, Dory Sherry, the director of production of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, came to you and said, write me a script for a great baseball picture. I want it to be the most thrilling baseball picture that you can imagine. What would you write? Why bother? Why not just copy the 1951 National League race? Wouldn't that be better than the most imaginative scenario writer could possibly drum up? I'm sure it would. This is the end of plots. Well, out goes Magley for the Giants, trying to turn back the Dodgers another time. The name Giants came from the 1883 Giant team. They were very big men there in the twilight gaslight era. The first Giant manager, Jim Mutry, roared out at the big fellas one day, come on, you Giants. And from that time on, they were Giants. Reese Stratting takes strike call on the outside corner. Wheaties scoreboard will follow the game. That fellow Jim Mutry won the first two Giant pennants. Bill Terry won 3 and John McGraw 15. Magley arches his back. Rolls, strike 2 called over the outside corner. Sal, but for that first inning lapse in control, and it may have been a fatal error, has been superb, masterful, perfect. My regards to my good friend Robert Lee out in Los Angeles. Magley throws. Pee Wee Reese takes a shade outside. 1-2. First waste pitch from Magley. I bet most of you didn't know that the spawning grounds of these Brooklyn Dodgers, the borough of Brooklyn, is as big as Chicago. 88 8/10 square miles. 2,800,000 people. Magley works down to the right-hander and Reese watches. Strike 3. It's on the outside corner. Brilliant curveball, broken off, swept across the outside corner as Pee-wee just stood there with an open-mouthed face. Over here from beautiful scenic Brooklyn, 25,000 madly roaring rooters. That name of Brooklyn came from Breukelen, spelled B-R-E-U-C-K-E-L-E-N. It's a Netherlands village, and it means broken land. The Dodgers today are in one piece, though, still, miraculously. There's a swing and a drive, left field way, hustling over for it is Irvin, but this will be in for a Dodger base hit. Snyder rounds first base, and will come back in as Irvin makes his play back to second. It's a Dodger base hit. They've one on with one away, and Jackie Robinson is again the batter. So here is the Dodger hatchet man, Jackie Robinson, and some of the Giant fans booing. Booing Robinson is as dangerous as hunting a gas leak with a match. He responds to it. Something in his chemistry that won't take it. The outfield off to the left side. Infield in double play depth. Sal Magley on the hill. Breezes it outside for ball one. One out, one on. The one up is Jackie Robinson. Hitting right now. Smiling Sal Magley, the batter, has yielded 3 hits this ball game. Trails at 1-0 with a pennant squarely on the line. Magley into the windup now. Comes down with a pitch, taken outside. Speaking of the birds being on the field, Red Smith made a great remark in his column today when he said there were birds on the field here yesterday. Always left behind pitcher Levine because they knew the Giants were at bat and they were safe. Levine shut him out 10-0 yesterday in a brilliant rookie exhibition. One on, one out. The batter is Robinson. 2 balls on him. He's got to lay it in. Throws high outside. Pitch out. The run on his way to second. The throw there. He is out to field. Snyder streaks for second on a pitch out. The Giants have to steal dope. Precious that it was going to take place. And Westrum, who made 2 great pegs to second base day before yesterday in the opening game of the series, to snuff out prospective Dodger runners with it lasty in their hearts, makes the third one here today. And on Jackie Robinson, 2-4, it's the out. Robbie swings, hits a liner up along the left field line, which goes way foul.
It was hit hard enough and far enough for a home run, but was not in there. The big pitch here yesterday was a low sweeping curve on which Bobby Thompson struck out in the third with the bases full. After that, you knew that Lavine was going to ride that lead home. It was a bad pitch, by the way. You'll remember it. Bases full, Thompson up, 3-2 pitch. If Thompson had let it go by, it would have been a base on balls and a run walked in. Even Lavine admitted that. The pitch taken inside, and Jackie Robinson's on first with two away. Now they've got to watch him very closely because Robinson is one of baseball's most accomplished stealers. With Andy Pafko up here, he'd like to go to second in scoring position. Photographers were busy taking picture of the Robinsons, Jackie and Sugar Ray, before the ball game to show you the feeling that is existent in this National League clutch playoff. Just before the ball game, they were ministering to Eddie Stanky on a rubbing table in the Giants' dressing room. He was spiked by Jethro in Boston in the weekend series. Spiked himself going down to first base yesterday. He's got his feet tangled up. He had two nasty gashes on his shin bone. I asked Eddie, I said, Eddie, you going to be able to play today? He just looked down at his leg and he said, is it broken? The outfield, deep off to the left, fanned away. Jackie Robinson at first base, leading, dancing down the line, trying to nettle Magley. Sal checks his runner. Cold-blooded, unemotional Sal. Pafko backs out of the batter's box. Magley keeping a close watch on Jackie Robinson, trying to keep the short holder on him, realizing that Robinson will do anything to get down to second base, and is an accomplished stealer. Magley checks Robinson now, throws down to the batter. Pafko swings, pumps a fly up along the left field line, foul. It's going toward the upper deck and will go up on top, out of play. People had about formed the impression up to yesterday that the Giants could not lose. When they did lose yesterday, it was a beaut. 10-0. They were long overdue, though. Some of the Giants supporters around this morning very worried for fear the Giants' luck had at long last run out. 1-0 in favor of the Brooklyn Dodgers on a first-inning single to left by Jack Robinson, scoring Reese, who had walked in front from second base. Magley checks Robinson at first base. Sal looking over there. Jackie jockeying back and forth. Magley, finally, unnerved, throws to first base. Not in time. There was a cat-and-mouse game between Jackie Robinson jiggling back and forth up and down, jumping in that peculiar ballet dance motion of his to rattle a pitcher. Finally, Magley, unable to bear the pressure, through to first base, delivers to the batter again. Swung on and missed by Pafko for strike two. He went out for an outside pitch that time, down low. At the plate, Andy Pafko, his confederate, Jackie Robinson on first base. Button bright lights shining above. Cool, murky afternoon overhead, but lightening up as the afternoon wears on. People shedding their coats. A lot of shirt sleeve fans sitting below us in the stands. Cram packed. Robinson, the Dodger hatchet man at first. Pafko swings, skies one up into the air. Coming down the line is Whitey Lock, but he waits. He's got it. The side is retired for Brooklyn in the sixth inning as Sal Magley once again survives the onslaught and gets past him with no runs, one hit. The Dodgers' third of this sixth-inning ball game, no errors and one left on. At the end of 5 1/2 innings here at the Polo Grounds in New York, the Brooklyn Dodgers won, the New York Giants nothing.
Brooklyn, one run,
three hits, no errors, four men left on base. The New York Giants, no runs, three hits, no errors, and three men left on base. Here's Eddie Stanky to lead off with Alvin Dock to follow and Don Mueller down in the hole as the last half of the sixth inning will get underway. There are reports that Hornsby and O'Doul have been approached for Charlie Dressen's job, but everybody close to Dodger management deny that. That's just one of the many rumors that goes around. Light still shining. Tons of hot dogs, coffee, and peanuts being consumed. Hank Greenberg, Joe Cronin, Bucky Walters, Sam Lingo Mungo, Luke Sewell, Billy Sullivan, Miss Dan Topping, Miss John McGraw, Dolly Stark, all here. Right-hand hitter Eddie Stanky, the brat leading off for the New York Giants. Last of the sixth, and Eddie would like to draw a base on balls here, which is his major weapon attack. He starts the ball rolling, a pot boiling, and Don Newcomb throws, and Stanky swings up, dying quail down the left field line. Feeding in for Pafko, runs, he's got it. Stanky in a little short blooper, one of those handle hit, leaping Lena Liner in the hole or over the hole between Cox and Reese in the short left field. Andy Papko racing in, reached up, hauled it in for the out, and Stanky is away in the last half of the sixth inning. In case you're looking down the line, Newcomb has 11 outs to go. Alvin Dark is the batter, former great Louisiana State University athlete, and this network, as I've told you, is making arrangements with one of the best sportscasters in the nation, Lindsey Nelson, to bring you play-by-play the LSU Rice game this Saturday night. Both teams are undefeated. Frank and Erskine warming up again. Dark reaches, takes strike call. Nothing in one. Alvin Dark batting from Lake Charles, Louisiana, number 19. Say, how would you write a lead on this game? How would you write a lead? What would you say to encompass the drama of this game in one paragraph? The pitch outside. I remember the greatest lead I ever read was one written by Damon Runyon. He sat down one day. A little fella had confessed on the stand inadvertently, and he sat down and wrote that a little man sat on a little chair in a little courthouse today and quietly talked himself to death. There's a foul ball hit up into the stand by Alvin Dark to the left side. Well out of play. Dark banging one down the left field line, which twisted foul.